And once again, we'll just give you a moment to get there.
Amen, amen.
How many is happy to be in church? Amen. When you get quiet, I get nervous, and I preach longer, and so you don't want all that, do you? Amen. I've been known, I'll draw it out 2 hours if I feel too nervous up here. And so help me pull this cart uphill. If we get uphill, we can go down the other side together. Amen. A lot of times, folks just like to hop on when we get on the other side and ride down with us, but it's nice to help me pull it uphill as well. Amen. There's some services we're pulling and plowing. Amen. Old preacher Benny Sutherland was a wonderful preacher. I just met him a couple of times, but I've often heard him quoted before where he would say something like this. He says, sometimes you're preaching, man, and you're just feeling it. He said, other time you're preaching by faith. Amen. You just got to preach regardless. But I enjoy preaching, and I'm glad you're here today, and I trust that you love His Word just as equally as I do, and I hope you love it more. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read just two verses of Scripture, and I promise you I will not hold you extremely long today. I just have some thoughts on my heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. And if you're there, just give me a good amen. All right. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody ever heard those two verses? But I want to focus in on that first verse, and we're going to preach both of these verses. But I want to focus in on this thought right here. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. And you may have heard this thought before. But I want to preach to you today on need-be trials. On need-be trials. I want you to get this concept in mind today that some of the trials that you go through are needful. There are need-be trials where you must go through them in order to become what God wants you to become. Now, nobody in this room today just naturally desires to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Nobody in this room naturally just desires to walk through a trial or a battle where you know that you're going to be stressed and tested and pulled and tried. Nobody really enjoys that. But it's need be at times in your life. I've been pastoring long enough and have been to enough people's surgeries where after the surgery they have something called rehab. And in that rehab, I'm telling you, I visited more than one person that after rehab, I'll go see them and I said, how are you feeling? They said, man, they're hurting me. I mean, that they're pulling and twisting, and I keep telling them, I don't think I can go any further. And they say, when you say that, they're going to push you just a little bit further. And they said, you know, I tell them, I don't know why they're hurting me, but they said, I know it's a needful thing for me to get better. So some things in life, even though they are not enjoyable, and even though naturally we would not vote to go through those things, some trials in life are need be. And I want to pray going into this because I want God to help me here today. I really need God's help. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, God, I am falling into your arms. I'm leaning on you for help today. Lord, I know it's a Sunday morning, God. We've already had Sunday school. I know sometimes we naturally get weary in body just a little bit, God. But right now, God, I would everybody would just give me their attention just for a few more moments, Lord. And Holy Ghost, apart from all that, God, I need your anointing today. I don't even want to preach if you don't help me, God. I won't preach unless you help me, Lord Jesus. I need your help today. I cannot do it without you. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we thank you for your presence that we already feel in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We must keep in mind as we're looking at this today, these thoughts today, that all of God's plans and all the things that He performs in our life, we realize is preparation for a greater cause. We realize nowadays when you're facing something, when you're going through something, that's not an isolated event. We must understand our life here is not disconnected from the life to come. It's not like our life here and the life to come are two separate transactions, but we do realize today what I face here on this earth is bettering me and helping me to become what I need to be for the life to come, but also to help me make the world to come, to be able to enjoy that. So today this explains the presence of trials in our life. We are come, we understand that sometimes, even though it's hard for us to recognize things like this, trials in life at times are tools in the hand of God. He uses trials sometimes to make us and shape us and help us to become what we need to be. Once again, not all trials in life are going to be enjoyable, but trials are needful in our life. Understand today that sometimes trials can be so much like a textbook in the school of our Christian experience. The twists, the turns, the tragedies, the pain, the tears, the upsets, the appointments in God's, every now and then the disappointments in our life. I often say it this way, there are appointments and disappointments in life, which means at times you go through something, sometimes you are disappointed, but in that disappointment you have an appointment with God there that He's trying to show you something. So notice here in the book of 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter is known for this word temptations, and that's not the sinful word in the sense, but it's that word that means trials and tribulations and persecution. And here, understand this today, Peter is telling us that there are purpose in the trials in which we face in life. They're not isolated. They are not single. There's something there that we are to learn through the trials that we face in life. And number one today, as I enter into these two verses, there's something there that kind of is peculiar to me. Number one, he tells us to rejoice. Rejoice in the trials that we face. And I don't know about you, when I'm going through something, the last thing I feel like doing naturally is rejoicing. I don't always feel like rejoicing in the middle of the trial when things are not going right or things are going wrong and problems and situations and whatever the testing may be. I don't feel like naturally rejoicing there, but it does tell me something. Rejoicing at times, and should get this concept today, rejoicing at times is not so much a feeling, it is a decision. At times, if I was to only rejoice in the Lord when I felt like it, it wouldn't be all the times. If I only rejoiced in the Lord when everything was just going right and my emotions and my feelings were wonderful at that moment, I would not rejoice naturally there. But at times in life, you got to rejoice when you do not feel like rejoicing. It's natural this morning, some of you do not feel like rejoicing in this service. May I say it's evident at times? Amen. There's times, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm standing up here. And when I raise my hands and I'm singing, doesn't mean everything's been perfect all of the times. But I've learned this concept that we've got to show forth a strength in our lives that sings when we don't feel like singing, that rejoices when we don't feel like rejoicing, that prays when we don't feel like praying, that reads when we don't feel like reading, that goes to church when we don't feel like going to church. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that writes the check to missions or to tithes when you don't feel like writing the check. Whatever it is in your life, sometimes you've got to show forth strength in your life if you're going to be victorious. And right here, you may not feel like rejoicing today, but I'm telling you what Peter says to you, you need to rejoice anyhow. And then when you don't feel like rejoicing and you show forth praise, rejoice again and again and again until you have the victory. So understand this today, brothers and sisters. You have to, when you rejoice in your trial, when you rejoice in your situations, others are watching you when you go through trials. If you go through a trial and you're a big bah humbug, humbug, whatever it is, and you're like a Scrooge, and you ain't feeling like going, and you're gonna, the old saying is, it looks like you're sucking on lemons, is the old saying. I mean, you can't smile, you can't glorify God. I'm telling you, others around you are watching you in that trial. And I'm not saying this is easy once again, but when you go through a trial and you have joy in your heart, doesn't mean you can't say ouch every now and then or that you need prayer, but I'm talking about the fact when you press in anyhow and you keep that integrity and you show forth spiritual maturity, others around you are watching you. And when you rejoice in your trial, when you rejoice in sackcloth and ashes, there's something that people can look at you and realize that you have something in you that is real. We need to learn to rejoice in our trials in this life. But notice this. We figure out here in these verses that trials have or meet our needs at times. Notice this. He says, if need be, you go through these trials. This indicates that there are special times when God knows what we need, and sometimes what we need is to go through the furnace or to go through the trial or to go through the battle or whatever it is. God knows when you need it, and when you realize that God is sovereign and knows these things and He can help you, you've got to learn to embrace the trial instead of just looking how to get out of it all the time. It's natural. You talk to people and we're escapists by nature. It's all right. I know that. We don't like go. I don't like being hurt. I don't like that. I don't like getting sick. If you like getting sick, you're weird. Nobody likes getting sick. Nobody likes being talked about. Nobody likes going through this or going. It doesn't naturally mean you like to go through that. But when you go through it, at times realize it is needful in your life at times. And if you can't realize this, you will live in spiritual immaturity the rest of your life. I've seen it before where people, all they do is praise the devil. I'm serious. It's almost like they believe in the sovereignty of Satan. And what I mean by praise the devil, you listen to them sometimes and they rarely glorify God. It's always the devil. I almost didn't even make it. I almost just completely gave up everything. I didn't even want to go to church anymore. And look, I understand people go through things, but you know what? You can't listen to those emotions. And you ain't got to live in such a defeated place where you got to say, well, I don't feel like doing this. You can hang on with victory in Jesus Christ. You don't always have to go from valley to valley with defeat and hanging your head. You can walk through the valley with your head held up high. You can rejoice in the valley and in trials and in circumstances. Sometimes you listen to people and you wonder, man, the devil has a lot more power than I thought he did. We do not teach or preach in the sovereignty of Satan. We teach and preach the sovereignty of God. If we ain't careful sometimes, we almost put God up here and Satan right beside him like he's his arch nemesis. I tell you this, God has no arch nemesis. There is nothing that can stand in front of Him. There is nothing that can stand beside Him. He is God and He is God alone. There is not a trial, a temptation, a problem that comes into your life that does not pass through the filter of God's understanding. Look, I know you got a free will and you can make your life worse at times. That's your own free will. But guess what? God even sees it when it's your free will, when it's your own doings. Look, guess what, brothers and sisters? There's never a trial in this world that is taking God by surprise. Understand, God sees all. He has a foreknowledge. He knows how to help us and deal with us. He knows the trials that we face, and He knows the trial that you're going to face tomorrow, and the ones that He allows in your life, He sees them and deems them as necessary for you to be what you need to be in the glory of God. Think about that. Next time you're going through a trial, or you may be in the trial this morning, and you're sitting there wondering why. And why? James gives us a great piece of advice right there. He said, when you lack wisdom, he's talking about wisdom. When you lack wisdom concerning your trial, he says, pray and God can give you an understanding and a perspective what you're going through. You need the wisdom of God. Why don't you ask for it? And when you ask for it, don't ask amiss. God knows about the trials in our life. He knows when they are necessary. So instead of complaining, instead of just about to give up, why don't you embrace them and embrace God and say, God, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you're with me. You're my shepherd. I know you're going to lead me and guide me. Thank God for the trials in our lives. Sometimes I've learned this in my own life. Sometimes trials will discipline us. Oh, you thought you made the right decision until the trial. Oh, you went your own way, you did it anyhow, you know. And you did it, and guess what? All of a sudden, you're in the valley. You're in a trial. And you're sitting there, and you're praying. And the Holy Ghost is reminding you, I never told you to do that, or to do this, or be a part of that. And in that trial there, you know what? You pray different when you're in a trial. Come on, be honest. I've met people say, I pray the same all the time. I'm going to be honest with you. I pray different when there's a need. Amen. I'm praying just normal. Everything's going fine. I'm like, Lord, you're good to me. Thank you, Lord. And God's good. I'm talking to Him, and He's showing me things sometimes about Scripture. But when I'm in a trial, man, I'm praying. I'm out. The prayer wheels are turning, is the old saying. You know, look at Jonah. We often talk about how big that fish was. Or, you know, I was corrected by one of the kids one day. I said, yeah, you know, Jonah in the belly of the whale. He said, it was a fish. I said, all right now. They're getting too technical in Sunday school. It's a fish. I said, yes, you're right, it's a fish. Man, we talk about how great the fish is, how big the fish is, but we often forget how wonderful the altar inside the fish was. My, what a fish, but my, what a prayer. My, what a fish, but my, what an altar. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's something about the three Hebrew boys and their confidence in that fiery furnace. My Lord, look at the fiery furnace. Look at the well. Look at the Garden of Gethsemane. But look at the prayers. Look what was said. Look at the lion dens, yes. But look at the altar that was built there. My, what an altar. There's times I went through the valleys, brothers and sisters. And I come out, I look back, I said, man, that was praying right there. And it was not bragging on yourself. But at that moment, everything was opportune there. I mean, you were tuned in. You were praying like you needed to. You don't pray like you need to in comfort sometimes, but you can pray in a trial. Sometimes God can discipline us if we disobey God's will. There's sometimes, I like what the psalmist said in Psalms 119. In 67, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I have kept your word. He said, I was going astray. But when I was afflicted, I realized something. I was going the wrong direction. So sometime in your affliction, sometime in your trial, sometime in your valley, you notice there, I've been going the wrong direction. I've been getting off course. But in this valley, I kept your word. I read the word. I prayed. And now I'm back on course again. Thank you, Lord, for the trials. At other times, the trials are preparing us for spiritual growth. Come on now. Sometimes the trial is keeping you where you need to be. I mean, everything's going good, so you kind of take the steering wheel from God, and you know, everything, your opinion matters, and all of a sudden, Paul reminds us, you know what? He said, I had a thorn in the flesh. He said, just in case I was exalted above measure. God in His sovereignty looks at Paul and says, Paul, I mean, Paul's doing a lot of things. I mean, people are getting healed, and you know, he's up in the third heavens. He can't tell you all what he saw. He said, I don't know if I was there in body, spirit. You know, I was there. But he said, with that vision came a thorn. I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters, lest we be too prideful in our minds. The closer you draw to Christ, the more humble you must be. Because there'll never be a time in your life where you can exalt yourself above anything. If God has given you the abundance of revelation, He may give you the abundance of thorns that go with it. You never know. As I grow in Christ, and the closer I get to Him, and the more things I see accomplished at times for His kingdom, I'm telling you, God has a way of keeping us humble or keeping us prayerful. Because Paul is there on his knees. He's crying out to God, God, I've got a thorn in my flesh, but I love what God says back to him. Christ says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Thank God for the trials. At times they keep us where we need to be. Man, I remember preaching a few times. I said, man, God helped us. And I preached the next time and I flopped. As a young minister, it happened several times. I said, man, I felt like the Holy Ghost just set me on fire. And I'm there preaching. I feel like, man, and next time I get up there, it's the driest service I've ever preached in my life. And one preacher told me before, he said, good. He said, it'll keep you praying. I said, I guess he's right. Because ain't nothing worse being in the pulpit when everybody else is asleep. Because you got to preach anyhow. I remember one time as a young minister, I'm going to tell on myself. I was preaching one service somewhere. And man, it was the dry. I'm telling you, it was so dry. I don't think nobody was listening to me. I mean, they had the PA system right loud too. I said, man, they got to be hearing me. I mean, they were juggling babies, picking their nose, clipping their fingernails, looking at their cell phones, and I'm sitting there. And I'm finally thinking to myself, I said, you know what? I'm quitting preaching right now. I said, the devil's fighting me. Let's pray. I'll tell you what it was. I believe you stay prayed up. It doesn't matter if anybody's listening to you. I've learned that. You can preach if it's just one person. You can be in a jailhouse with a bunch of convicts and you're not going to get an amen in there. I'm telling you that. You can be in a nursing home. It doesn't matter where you are. But God has a way of keeping you humble and depending on Him. I realize in life there are need-be trials. We do not always know what need is being met. But we can trust when I'm going through a trial, it is a need-be trial. God has looked at it. God's deemed it worthy for me to go through it. So what do I need to do? I don't need to hang my head. I don't need to quit reading and praying. I need to grab my Bible. I need to hold my head up and say, look, I don't know how long I'm in the trial. I don't know how long the season is, but I'm going to walk with integrity. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to stay full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to do whatever I need to, but this is a trial that is necessary for me. We don't always see it that way, but we need to. But I want you to notice as we in these verses, what else we gather from this? Peter calls them manifold temptations. Now, that word manifold just means various, different kinds, all different. It means several different kinds. You ever been to the paint store before? And they have that small little, like a binder type things. It's got all these different shades of paint on them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, that manifold colors. I mean, you look at them, and I mean, they got colors you'd never heard of and colors they probably made up. And there's some colors there you're like, man, that looks good. And some of them think, they're just ugly. I mean, every different color, every different variable, every different mixture. I mean, you look at all these different things. I mean, every different blend, colors you've never heard of. Oh, and they're always updating and changing every time you go back. This is in style, and that is in style. But you hold there a manifold, a plethora, a different variety of different colors. And when we look at this word manifold here, it means that there are manifold. There are every shade, every color. Trials come in every shape, size, and color. And guess what? All of us have trials. Even in a room in a congregation this size, guess what? All of us could be facing different things, and usually we are. Manifold trials. Different kinds of trials. All these different kinds. And we look at this here, just like life in this church, the variations of trials in which we cannot even comprehend. I can't even comprehend what you face at times. You cannot comprehend what I face at times. But there are manifold trials in life. We're all facing them. They're different colors. And every time I think I face the last trial, here comes another one, a different color, a different shade, a different size, a different purpose. There's so many different kinds of trials. But the beautiful thing about the book of 1 Peter, he goes on to say this in 1 Peter 4:10. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I look at this and I rejoice in this fact. That no matter what shade of trial you're going through, there's a shade of grace that can cover that trial. Yes, there are manifold trials. Yes, there's different type trials. Yes, I may be facing something today that I've never faced before, but I can take it to the bank and guarantee there's a shade of grace. There's a type of grace. All Paul could say, it is a sufficient grace. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. There's a manifold grace of God. It always surprises me. It always revamping. It's always fresh. It's always sufficient. You've been tempted to be depressed in mind. There's a shade of grace for that. You're being tempted in sickness. Guess what? There's a shade of grace for that. You're being tempted with sin. Something's trying to tempt you away. Guess what? There's a shade of grace for that. You're being tempted by your lost children. Guess what? There's a shade of grace for that. You're being tempted in the valley of the shadow of death and sickness and at the end of life. There's a shade of grace for that. You're being tempted in your marriage. You're being tried in your marriage. There's a shade of grace for that. There's a shade of grace for every trial you ever face. That actually rhymed. There's a shade of grace for every trial you'll ever face. So I don't worry about tomorrow and what it may bring. Because tomorrow I may face something different. Tomorrow I could be diagnosed with cancer. But there's a shade of grace for that. I'm about to go on a mission trip by myself. And don't you think the devil tries to tempt your mind and say, what happens if this happens and your family's back here? And what would your wife do without you? And what raising the kids and all that? But you know what? There's a shade of grace for that. I don't have to live defeated. Because every time I highlight a trial, I can equally and even more so highlight the grace of God. It's almost like I can take the grace of God and place over the trial because it's there every single valley that I walk through. It goes on to say that trials, we understand, is not easy. It calls them, if need be, calls it the heaviness of trials. You know, it's just opposite of the modern mindset. When you get saved, everything gets lighter, right? Of course your sins do, because He takes them. But we understand when you get saved, doesn't mean you don't ever have to carry a burden. Doesn't mean that you never have to go through a season of heaviness. This word heaviness there means to experience grief or pain. It is used to describe our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is the sorrow of the saints for loved ones in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So to deny that trials are not painful would be a lie. Trials are painful. But that's the problem. We feel like everything should be painless. Look, I'm a 30-year-old, turning 30 this year. I'm still considered a young minister. But I've looked at times. I know men, Brother Glenn's generation, I call them the pioneers of the early. You know what? Him leaving and starting a church, you think any of that was easy? Difficult times. But I'll tell you one thing that I've asked the Holy Ghost to shield me from or to give me vision from. Don't let me become a part of these holiness preachers in this generation that everything's so easy that, guess what, they don't expect to carry any burdens. They don't ever expect to fast. They don't ever expect to pray through. They don't ever expect to wrestle or do this. Guess what, brothers and sisters? I know at times in life there's going to be heaviness. And guess what? You should expect that. What happens is usually we get so surprised by our trials. We get in the middle of them like, God, where are you at? You let me down. You've left me here. No, it's going to be heavy. The old saying I used to be told when I was a young minister, tighten up your bootstraps, son, walk on. You ain't got time to sit there and wallow in that. Keep going. You don't have time to sit there. They're not easy. There's trials. You must face them. You must go through them. We must understand we are to expect them. But my last point today is this. Understand this. Even though there need be, even though there's several different kinds, even though they're heavy, guess what? Trials are controlled by God. Does that give you any comfort? That God is in control of your trial? They do not last forever. He said, if need be, for a season. Which means there is a beginning to a season and there is an end to a season. Which lets me know this today. When God permits His children to go through the furnace, He keeps His eye on the clock and He keeps His hand on the thermostat. He knows how long you need to be in there. And He knows just how much you can take. So if you're going through it, quit saying you're giving up because you're not, because God wouldn't let you go through it if He knew it was going to make you give up. Now if you give up on your own free will, that's one thing, but don't say it's God's fault. Because He will not put more on you than you can bear. There's always an immediate exit, a way of escape when we embrace Christ. Now understand this though. The season of trials is different for everybody. But also, as equally as true, the season of your trial can depend on how you react in the trial. If you rebel in the midst of your trial and you're not getting the point, he may have to leave you in there a little bit longer for you to understand something. I've been there. My Lord, I have been there. When I thought for sure, I said, God, how long is the valley going to last? And matter of fact, all of a sudden, when it dawned on me the point and the perspective of God, what He was trying to teach me, as soon as I learned it, guess what? I come out of the trial. But the old saying is, you know, they can tell you, my old boss man, when I used to do some trim carpentry, he would pay us by the job. That'd keep you from milking the clock. He said, all right, now this could take you 2 weeks. It can take you 4 days. He said, but I'm paying you by the job. And you know what? He said, it can be as long as you want it to be. And of course, I'm sure he would have set more of a limit if we drug our feet too much. But he realized this, you know, if somebody came to him and started complaining, what about this? He said, why didn't you come to work earlier? Why didn't you stay later? Or why didn't you come in on Saturday? You're getting paid by the job. You can be as hard as you want it to be. I tell you this, there's times in your trials it can be as hard as you want it to be. There's sometimes if you're rebellious, you can stay in that trial long enough. And at times it may end up being your demise. Let's read this last little section here. Because Peter illustrated this truth by referring to a goldsmith. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know any goldsmith. I don't know anybody's got any gold. I mean, of any value. I wish I had a goldsmith that was a friend. No goldsmith, as I was reading about this, no goldsmith would deliberately waste the precious gold and damage its purity. He would put it into the furnace just long enough for the cheap impurities would pour off of it and it would become a beautiful article of value. As I was reading about the Eastern goldsmith, they would leave it in there long enough till they could see their own reflection in it. And as one commentator and many have said before, God will leave you in the furnace long enough until He can see His reflection in your life. And how much sure is this that we can understand that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted? If God cannot test your faith, He cannot trust your faith. Because when your faith fails the test, how much more do you think your faith will fail the test later on when it's the enemy or some situation? He tests you and tries you to get you ready for futuristic battles in your life. Too many professing Christians have a false faith. And what I mean by that is, when they go through the furnace, it shows that they didn't really believe what they said they believed. Anybody can come to church and say they believe it. Anybody can grab this Bible and say, oh, they're my promises, and that's my Lord, and that's my Savior. And as soon as they go through a valley, you know what? They're the first ones to almost backslide and give up. And you're saying to yourself, my friend, what is going on? I thought for sure they had it. But guess what? Trials reveal what is within your life. The old saying is, and I've shared it here before, trials and valleys do not make the Christian. They reveal the Christian. So when you're going through a valley and you feel all those negative attitudes and that doubt or the bitterness, guess what? God's trying to get it out of you. You didn't know it was there, but the valley has revealed it there. Or my friends, hear me today. He takes you in that valley to show you things about yourself you didn't even know were there. Not that He couldn't show you through prayer, but sometimes we just won't listen. So sometimes, the more stubborn the will, the more severe the trial. So as you look at this today, I was reading some different scenarios about this. But for time's sake today, I just want to kind of bring this to a closing. How about Patriarch Job? Man, has anybody else looked at Job and said, man, he went through it? There's an old saying that people often tell me, and it's a joke, but they say, you know, I'm as poor as Job's turkey. I'm telling you, that's poor. If Job went through all that, I bet that turkey got pretty poor there. But what about Satan going before the throne of God and saying, you know, hey, Satan, where you been? You know, I've been here and there, up and down through the earth. And all of a sudden, God says, have you considered my servant Job? I bet Satan was saying, I wish he didn't bring that rascal up. Last person he wanted to hear was the name of God. You've got a hedge around about him. But you know what the big thing was? God wanted to prove to Satan that Job was just as faithful with the hedge as he was without the hedge. I preached a message years ago, faithful without the hedge. When everything else has gone wrong and the hedge is gone and God allows it to come in like a flood. Can you still stand with Job and say, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job, when he's sitting there and all his animals are being killed, but the major thing, when his 10 children, from what I can understand, I believe it's 10 for memory's sake, died. Can you imagine, how many have ever had a loved one die before? Can you imagine walking in and saying one casket, two casket, three casket, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Your children laying there dead. Your animals dead. Your finances being corrupt. And your wife to look at you and say, curse God and die. Now we're hard on Job's wife, but she was going through it too. But we're not justifying what she said. But there's a message for Job's wife and there's a message for Job. And Job said, the Lord knoweth the way that I take. And when he is done, I will come forth more pure than gold. If you stand to your feet today, and I feel the Lord right here, I do. I just want God to help us. You're here today and you're going through it. Just be honest, the service is for you. If you'll be honest with yourself, I don't know all what everybody faces on an everyday basis. I'm telling you, you know what? There's manifold trials. There's manifold temptations. But I'm telling you, there is a manifold grace in our lives. And you say, brothers, sister, I don't know which way I'm going. You can say with Job, the Lord knoweth which way that I take. He's permitted me to walk down these roads. And you have to embrace the valley. Right now, what I want to do is simple. I know a message like this is simple because I think everybody in their right mind here today has got something in life that they face, and probably even today. There's things I'd like to be better. Situations. But I could sit there and highlight all the trials. My goal today is to highlight the grace of God. I don't understand suffering, brothers and sisters. It is the great dilemma of every minister. How do I marry the fact? Why does good people suffer? But even more than that, why does God's people suffer? And I've come to this conclusion. No amount of faithful living exempts you from the school of suffering. You can fast 40 days. Doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. Brother Stephen Reynolds that was here Wednesday evening. His dad is one of the greatest men of faith. Brother James Reynolds. He said several kids die. Had a wife that died. Had a son that got shot. Had a son that got in a wreck and he's in a wheelchair to this day. And when his first wife died, he said he walked up to the casket. I mean, he's a praying, a fasting man who started a rehab program there in Maine. I mean, a godly man. He fasts 40 days a year, every year, faithfully. A man of God, seeing miracles. And he walked up to the casket of his first wife, the mother of several of his children. And he looked at that casket. He took his preaching license and he laid in the casket. He said, I can't do it anymore. How is it that I have seen miracles? How is it that I have preached? And he said the Holy Ghost would not leave him alone. And he found the grace of God even when his wife died. He said he picked back up his Bible. And the Holy Ghost told him, you must keep on preaching. It's a trial of your faith. The famous black minister, I forget his name. His wife passed away. I wish I could remember his name. But that minister, when it came to his funeral, the funeral for his wife, they came to him and said, who's going to preach the funeral? He said, I am. I'm going to preach this funeral. He said, because it's just a trial of my faith. And he got up there at that funeral with tears in his eyes. He said, boy, he talking about his wedding day. He said, she was so beautiful walking down that aisle. He said, but I know when I see her walking the streets of gold, she's going to be even more beautiful then. What I'm telling you is this, brothers, we go through tragedies in life. I don't understand sickness. I don't understand all the death. I don't understand all the problems. I know sin is abounding. I know wickedness is everywhere. There's manifold trials. But today, leave here understanding there's manifold grace. Name your trial, and I point you to grace. Tell me your dilemma, and I point you to grace. Show me your disease, and I show you grace. I show you grace. And today, if we could, I feel in my heart, I want to take time. It's still early, brothers. It's not even 12 o'clock, brothers and sisters. Right now, if my wife would come to the piano, I want us to come to these altars. And if you need grace right now, if it just be one of you that needed it, it'd be worth it to me. If you need grace to go through them trials, if you would come to these altars, find your place to pray for a few moments. Before we dismiss, hallelujah, just let God.